I remember putting in a system. The system manager had a system. He got our own institutions told our other institutions exactly what happened or was the case with respect to anybody that they were looking for a record to hire. And he rejected it because he found several situations where unacceptable people had been hired by somebody else after being left over in another area. And the reference was always praised and sent to him, but it never revealed that it was an undesirable appointment. And all the institutions were so enthusiastic about getting rid of an individual that they didn't care if they were saddling that individual on another institution, which didn't need that problem to begin with. And so we got to stop that kind of thing. It's bad enough if you're asking somebody from the outside, and you get answers that are not completely truthful, but to ask your own people and get those answers make no sense.
You have to work on your list, and you want to unload it. You got to unload that up. I'm just a couple of things here. Do you have any information on the acquisition of flash ponds for the marine sciences? That's where the university and the Department of Environmental Sciences are together.
I remember our desire to do it. I remember meeting with the conservation people. I remember something that we wanted to do. We all wanted to do that because I thought it was something appropriate to do. But I can't automatically recall in some of the details of it. I just know that it's the desire for to do and we wanted to do it. I visited it several times to make sure that I used the clean quickly with what it was and why it was. And then you advocated it, but it's got to be somewhere in the files if it becomes important information on it. It was an arrangement that I thought was highly desirable because it again represented a departure from norm, as you might expect something to be.
Well, one of the first occasions that I had anything to do with Lord Melville, we had lunch with the mayor and me and Lord Melville were worried about dredging, which was being threatened.
I remember that. It was important. Well, he's been a lot of years involved in nature conservancy and advocating nature conservancy. So he could also use it to think of his time all over as well. Ownership, but it was awful easy for me to completely understand some of these things that you need to get it done. People didn't have to waste much time explaining to me about the desirability of these things. I've been so gung-ho in that area for that particular kind of thing for a long time.
There was one act that with excellent public relations, yeah, with the local community, because I explained that we wanted it basically as it was, and we weren't going to change it.
Yeah.
And it was even basically based on it.
Well, there were so many times when I succeeded in getting land into the university system to protect it from encroachment of one nature to another, and other times when I failed that I was almost in tears about it, because to me, the university was always an excellent place for a forever learning bank, if it were. I succeeded, for example, buying the Puget Sound, which is another piece of property that Clark people have, about 300 acres of waterfront and mountainside that had not been surveyed, et cetera, in some years. It's a really wild, beautiful piece to be perpetuated. I got it given to the university. I negotiated the gift on the port of the hotel, the name years of time, you know, we left the mountain to start the state. He said, why trouble with his computer? He couldn't understand what was telling him there. And he did.
Identifying the need, and using it convince people generally that the truth of limited means, have educational needs, and that educational needs can only apply to people of real means who can afford to pay the tuition related to the private institution.
If you knew what it was going to produce at that time, there's some degree of certainty.
You might sit here and say, well, that's no problem at all. I said, this is just how I would have to answer you. You can't refrain from doing this and say that you can't afford to run those facilities when they get into the operation. And if you make that comment on the basis of what you know about your revenues today, it's impossible. But, so money was, and it constantly was. And I think that those two issues were so intertwined that the private party would say, well, give us the money, we can do this job. And there was, some sentiment for efforts to be made in that direction. But then you had contract power, just like they had at Cornell. But they don't work. They don't work as well. Not the way to go. Run a bigger facilities at the private college campuses. And you can buy time from the private colleges that pay for instruction at $6 an hour, et cetera, et cetera. There were all kinds of suggestions made as to how you could work out some system of providing for and not building the state university with its name. And to me, I could see tremendous numerical growth in students. I mean, after all, when we were talking, we were dealing with like 35,000 full-time students in the whole state university system. And I could look down the road and say, boy, I can see 60,000 in a couple of years. I can see 150,000 in a short period of time. I'm not sure that I can see beyond that, but we didn't contemplate then that we would be talking about 300,000+ full-time enrollment and all the others. But when we dealt with the University of Auburn, for example, in its expansion, and this had some bearing upon what happened, I sat out there with Paris, and Stephen came to me and said, "Larry, you know, you listen to me for a minute?" I said, "Sure." He said, "You know what's contemplated to be done here?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Take the University of Auburn, the College of Auburn, we're going to build a bridge over West Atlanta. And we're going to expand into this state of Paris section, and we're going to provide for something like 3,500 to 4,000 students in this expanded program for the College of Auburn." I said, "I don't make any sense at all." He said, "I've been trying to get somebody to say that for all the time I've been talking." I said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Like, can anybody listen?" I said, "I'm listening." He said, "I don't think it ought to happen." I said, "I don't think it ought to happen to you either. Let's do something about it." So we did something about it. And fortunately, it's another long story, but fortunately, we had a governor at that time who looked at things in a broad way, in the big perspective, and everything else around the town. And then he said, "How many students are you talking about?" I said, 15,000? Well, 15,000 students was like half the enrollment that we had full time when we started into this program. I didn't know whether 15,000 was the right number, but I knew it was big enough to attract somebody's attention and look at it from the standpoint that, boy, now we're talking. And as a consequence, these are the kinds of directions that we headed in. I don't know what the enrollment over at Auburn is today, but I'll bet you it's close to 14,000-15,000. Huh? Yeah. But the story about Auburn, how that got to be, is another kind of a story, but it relates to the university's dimension. And when you ask what were some of the major problems, I think we touched on it, but those were, and the third problem that got involved was bureaucracy itself. And the fact that all this got accomplished in the face of the bureaucracy that we had to handle
for something else too. The fact that he got freed up from it, and got some breathing room of our own for a period of time was very significant. You can go back and choke on a lot of bureaucracy subsequently, but if you can get that momentum going without it, sometimes it's difficult for even bureaucracy to come back and to choke you off more and more. And then people in the problem. We had to somehow bring into the system people with the kind of vision and the kind of drive that leadership presented, not the kind of stand back that followers provided. And so we were constantly kind of urging, when we recruit people, let's look for the best. Let's say we can, maybe we can't give them what they want today, but maybe tomorrow. Let's look for the best of presidents that we can find. I need to tell you how when we went to Crescent Commission, I called a meeting of all the college presidents. And I had to do something that was, I felt, dramatic, and something which was not. You had to be subjected to some kind of a vote or something. And I'm never saying, good, this is the opportunity that we had to move as a goal. I don't see any questions in my head, but this is what we're going to do. And anybody who cannot accommodate for this, as a matter of principle, if we would get up and turn in the resignation, you would. But I want to say to you that if you stay here in this room and you stay with this program, I want to clearly understand that we will count you as committed 110% to doing this and making this university go. And this is one of the tools with which we do it. So in other words, Chad's good. You're pretty hard about it. You, as a matter of principle, won't do it, then please, get out of here. Was this a matter of principle with you, or did you also check around to see that other state universities were certainly judging tradition at that time? We were aware that other universities were charging some degree of tuition, whatever. We were aware that we had a free ride in the teacher education program, which was being criticized because there were numbers of students in the teacher education program and then become awarded or whatever. And they did it for free. And I criticized this publicly several times and got killed by the people at Albany because Albany was one of the worst offenders. He went to Albany, he got it. And I don't know how many lawyers and even members of the legislature went to the teacher college. He got a free education and then became a lawyer and he put that free ride on a contract. But to me, I wasn't concerned what the hell anybody else had done. I wasn't concerned what anybody else had done. I wasn't looking for excuses or defenses. To me, it represented the way in which we could build this university's physical facility in the shortest possible time with the greatest commitment involved. Now, I had a little other caveat there, which subsequently kind of blew me away. In the dealing with this program of tuition, and the dealing to persuade everybody that this was what we do for the reasons, I said, if there is any funds generated by student tuition over and above the funds that are used for the debt service, then I want the university to have access to those funds for improvement in curriculum, for improvement in faculty. for improvements in it, above and beyond the normal budget appropriation.
And I said, I think that this is important to be able to say that we can have this, that we can sell it. And I sold the idea that